Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Sometimes getting to church isn't always the easiest thing to do, but I'm glad you chose to be here this morning. Thank you for getting up and coming. I know that there's a lot of things you could be doing today, but I believe church should be enjoyed, not just endured. Amen? Isn't that good? Like, we don't have to come and just, oh gosh, how long is he going to talk? I can't wait till lunch. We can have a good time. And so my name's Bobby, and I get to serve here as the lead pastor. And man, just right where you're at, again, thank you for being here. It's such an honor. Our teams get together on Saturday, and they come in, and they put all this stuff up. So can we just give them a little thank you for, dang. And man, it makes it all worth it when you show up, and you're here, and you're engaged, and God does move in your heart. And so I've been praying for you hard this week. Every single one of you, just been praying that whoever God brought, whoever's listening on our podcast, that the Holy Spirit would meet you right where you're at. Whether you came into church like that, maybe some of you this morning, you can really relate to that. You were arguing, you were fussing all the way to the parking lot this morning. But whatever you're at, wherever you're at this morning, I believe God's got something for you. All right, so you need to listen up. Matter of fact, just tell the person today, tell the person next to you, you need to listen up today. All right, come on, tell them. Tell them, all right? I don't need to listen, but you need to listen, all right? I have a couple questions for you today. I got a wonky table here, so I might be fidgety. It goes perfect with my message today. But I got a couple questions for you today. And I want you to be honest. You're in church, so you can't lie, all right? How many of you would say that you get distracted pretty easily? Anybody in here, like, you get distracted pretty easily? Some people have two hands up. How many of you, you're just like, I can stay pretty focused for a pretty long time? Anybody? Okay, all right. You guys are good people right there. You don't have to answer this one out loud. What's the thing in your life that you would say distracts you the most? Don't answer. Just think about it. What's the thing that distracts you the most in your life? When you fall into that distraction, what are the things that you're saying no to? If I'm saying yes to this distraction, this thing, this whatever it is, what am I saying no to over here? I believe that one of the biggest threats to Christ followers today is distraction. I believe that one of the biggest threats to church today, not necessarily just City Hope Church, but the Big C Church, one of the biggest distractions that one of the biggest threats that we face today is distractions. So I've entitled today's sermon, if you're a note taker and you can follow along with me, The Distraction Dilemma. The Distraction Dilemma. I believe that we are at a time in our lives that distractions are at an all-time high. I ran across this quote this week in my study, and can I just be honest with you? It convicted me so deeply, so much, that I had to come and I had to share it with you. I want you to listen to this. It should be here on the screens. Our lives can easily take us to the brink of burnout. The pace we live at is often destructive. The lack of margin is debilitating. We're worn out. And all of this, the problem before us is not just the frenetic pace we live out, but what gets pushed out from our lives as a result, that is life with God. Distractions are something that I don't care who you are, we all struggle in some way. These are things that we would classify, they're taking up space in our lives. And even some of us, some of these things may be good things, right? They don't all have to be bad. They don't all have to be sinful. There's some good things that take up space in our lives, but what are they doing? They're keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us. It keeps us on the sidelines when God wants us in the game. I don't believe that our souls were created for the kind of speed to which we've grown accustomed to in our world today. The kind of changing pace. There's so many people who are out of rhythm. Maybe that's you this morning. You walk in here today and the reality is, man, you are out of rhythm. I've got too much to do and not enough time to do it. But here's the truth I want you to understand. And many of you probably know this and get this, but we need to be reminded that there's no way to follow Jesus without unhurrying your life. There is no way for you and I to truly follow Jesus without unhurrying our lives. I want to show you a picture this morning. It's a little morbid picture, all right? When you see this picture, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When you see something like that, maybe some of you it's like Halloween. Maybe for some of you it's like, old thing. But for me, when I see this, it's death, right? I see this and I'm like, man, that's kind of creepy, right? But I think of death. And here's a little news flash, right? We all like the news and we want 24/7 news. We're all gonna die, all right? One day that's you, all right? One day that's me. Every single one of us in here are gonna die. And it's not something we wanna think about very much, right? It makes us a little uncomfortable. But to remind yourself that you are going to die is to remind yourself to live for your eulogy, not your resume, all right? To remind yourself that death is coming, that I need to live for the things that I, this precious fleeting time that I do have on this earth, I need to focus on what matters. I need to focus on the thing. And Paul, one of the apostles, one of the guys who wrote much of the New Testament, he even tells us in the Bible in Colossians, set your mind on what? Things above, not on earthly things. He's saying, keep death as an understanding. Keep death right here because one day you're going to die. So there's no sense in just living for earthly things. Keep your mind on things above. Then he also tells the church, listen to this. He says, I'm saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you. I don't want you to just go through life and not have any fun here on earth. I'm not trying to restrain you from things, but I want to promote, look at this, what is proper so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. I want you to live for the things that matter in eternity, not just the things here on earth. Why? Because this is the proper way to love the Lord. This is the proper way to follow the Lord. So how do we overcome this distraction dilemma? How do we get ourselves out? How do we break through if we know we're being distracted? Now, adults, listen. You and I, we can probably identify the things that distract us pretty easily, right? You can probably think of two or three things that you do or that you spend a lot of your time on, all right? We can probably identify that we hate to admit it, but we know what they are, right? Now, listen, there's a lot of students in the room, a lot of teenagers in the room. I need you to lock in here with me, okay? 20-somethings in the room, don't think this is the message for the old people, all right? This isn't a message just for the old people. This is for you too, maybe even more. Why? Because the enemy wants you to believe that your parents don't know what they're talking about. Oh, everybody does it. We all stay on it. We all look at it. We all hang around it. And this is a message just for you teenagers, just as much as it is for us adults. Why is that? Because some of you sit here today and you're overwhelmed. Students, parents, adults, singles, you're overwhelmed. The reality is you're insecure. You're insecure. There's a lot of insecurities that have, you're unconfident. You're just not confident in who God's, the anxiety in you is just massive. Let's keep going. The laziness, there's some laziness in you. There's some depression in you. And just you're flat out struggling. Why? It's not because you're a terrible person. It's not because you're the worst of the worst. For some of you, the reason why I just described you is because you're distracted. For many of us, for some of us in here today, you are defeated simply because you are distracted. You feel defeated. You feel like everything's going wrong and life has nothing for me and I don't like this and you feel totally defeated and it starts with because you are distracted. Now here's the good news. Praise God that His mercies are new every morning. Praise God that His grace is big and His love is full and I might have been distracted yesterday, but that doesn't mean I have to be distracted today. I might have spent the last 6 months being very, very distracted, but I'm ready to stop being distracted and experience all that God has for me. I'm ready to take some steps. And because of the grace of God, because of His goodness, I don't have to stay distracted. So let's jump into the word today, scripture. If you have your Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, we have one service today, so that means I get an extra 30 minutes to preach because I'm missing out on the other service, all right? And it's only 97 degrees in here right now, so praise God. We're just going to sweat together, okay? We got home from a little trip last night and our AC was out and it's 80 some in my house. So this actually feels pretty good. I'm not going to lie. 2 Kings chapter 2, and then we'll go over to chapter 3 here in a sec. Now, some of you listen, some of you learn really well through lecture, some of you learn really well through video, some of you learn really well through metaphors and examples, and so I've brought a lot of different stuff today, okay? But I need you to stay with me, because I got to set this passage up. I need to give you a lot of context here to help you understand. I don't want to just jump right in. So coming into 2 Kings chapter 2, there was a prophet named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a great man. Elijah was sent by God, now stay with me, to Israel. This is God's chosen people. He was sent by God to Israel to tell the evil kings and the evil leaders. He was there to convict them and tell them what they were doing wrong. And God sent him. He would condemn these kings. He would condemn these leaders who were over Israel. If you're looking for a Bible hero, Elijah needs to be in your top five. All right. He was a great man of God. He raised a boy from death. He prayed fire from heaven down to earth. He was truly a man of God who did God's work. So we have the prophet Elijah. Elijah's name means the Lord is my God. That's what his name literally means. Now, here's where it gets a little bit squirrely, okay? Elijah was this man of God. He was a prophet. But Elijah begins to take under his wing, a disciple named Elisha, all right? So Elijah, J-A-H, takes Elisha, S-H-A, under his wing, and now he is discipling Elisha, okay? So in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha leaves his family, and he says, I'm going to follow Elijah. This is my guy. God's called me to him. I'm going to go watch him work. And so he does. He goes with him and they go and they do God's work. They does miracle after miracle for years and years and years. These two are inseparable. Elijah and Elisha. If you saw one, you saw the other. God was working through these two men. Now, Elisha became a strong man of God. He was a prophet just like Elijah. And so together they were. Are you still with me? All right. Still with me? If you're with me, say I am. All right, good. I'm glad we're still together, okay? Now, we got Elisha, all right? So 2 Kings chapter 2, all right? At the beginning of 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah, it's time for him to go with the Lord, all right? He's lived a long life. It's time for the Lord to take him. So we understand that Elisha, his mentor, was emotional, right? His mentor is getting ready to leave. He doesn't want that to happen. It's a struggle right now. But this was his best friend and his mentor, all right? And so the time had come, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, the time had come for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. So Elijah and Elisha, look at this, were traveling from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord is sending me on to Bethel, all right? So here's the story. Elijah's like, look, it's time for me to go. You stay here. I'm going to go over here. The Lord's going to do what he wants to do with me. But look at Elisha's response. But Elijah replied, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So he went down to Bethel. So they went down to Bethel. Isn't that a great friend? Isn't that something that we all want somebody in our life that's going to be there for us? I will not leave you. That's the type of relationship they had. Elijah tried to get him to stay. And three times total, two more times after this, in the next coming verses, Elijah tries to do that again. Hey, you just stay here. And Elijah says, no, man, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. I'm going to stay with you. So Elisha, man, he's like, Elijah's going to leave. I don't want him to go. He's pretty emotional. He's all tore up, right? He's snapping at people. Now look at this. As soon as Elijah tells him to stay, he says, no, I'm not going to stay. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? He said to them, yes, I know. Be quiet. I love you. Anybody got any teenagers? You probably heard that before, right? Will you just leave me alone? Will you just be quiet? So Elisha's getting snappy. Right? He's like, look, I'm about to lose my friend. Yes, I know that I'm about to lose him. Will you just be quiet? Leave me alone. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, it says, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared. They separated the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Look at verse 12. As Elisha watched, he kept crying out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Elisha cried. He lost his mentor. The reality is, for years and years, they've been traveling around doing the work of God, and now the momentum is gone. All the momentum he had serving the Lord, he just watched go up. Now, this is where we're going to pick up kind of reading together. So this is what I want you to do. Let's stand and honor the reading of God's word. All right? It'll be here on the screen. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. And I want you to stay with me in this story, all right? So we understand Elijah and Elisha. Elijah just went up to the Lord, all right? Verse 12, second half of verse 12. When he could see him no longer, he took hold of his own clothes. This is Elisha after he watched Elijah go up. He tore them in two. He picked up the mantle, this is his cloak, that had fallen off Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle Elijah had dropped and he struck the water. And look at this question, look at this question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I don't know about you, but I wonder if there's a time in your life where you're just asking, where are you, God? I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't understand what's going on. Where are you, God? Here is a prophet of God saying, where is the Lord? He asked, and then he struck the water himself, and it parted to the right and to the left, and Elisha crossed over. Sounds like a familiar story. When the sons of the prophets from Jericho were observing, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. They came to meet him, and they bowed down to the ground in front of him. Then the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, look at this, since there are 50 strong men here with your servants, please let us go search for your master. Maybe the spirit of the Lord has carried him away and put him on one of the mountains or into the valleys. So they're like, wait a minute, Elijah just went somewhere. Let us go find him. We'll go look. There's 50 of us. Maybe he's up on the mountain praying. Maybe he's somewhere. Let us go find him. And then look what Elisha's response is. End of verse 16. Don't send them. However, they urged him to the point of embarrassment. So he finally gave up and he said, send them. They sent 50 men. They looked for 3 days, but they did not find him. When they returned to him in Jericho, where he was staying, he said to him, didn't I tell you not to go? I told you you weren't going to follow him, find him. The men of the city said to Elijah, my Lord can see, even though the city's location is good and the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. And he replied, look at this. Here, a highlighter, underline this part right here. Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. They brought him one. Elijah went out to the spring, threw salt in it, and they said, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. No longer will death or unfruitfulness result from it. Therefore, the water still remains healthy today, according to the word Elisha spoke. Verse 23, stay with me. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. He was walking up the path. Look at this. Some small boys came out of the city, and they jeered at him, chanting, go up, Baldy, go up, Baldy. He turned around, looked at them, cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the children. Moral of the story, don't mess with bald people. All right, let's go. Let's go. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel. Then he returned to Samaria. So stay with me, stay with me. All right. So we get to the end of chapter 2. Elisha, he's telling these guys, you're not going to find him. They're like, please, we need you. We need your help. Elijah's emotional, right? He's emotional that his friend. Now, beginning in chapter 3, let me give you just a quick overview. Chapter 3 starts with a little bit of a war here, okay? The king of Israel and the king of Moab are getting ready to get into it. The king of Israel says, I can't do this by myself. So he goes and finds a couple other kings to come with him. So one of the guys is a godly man, King Jehoshaphat, and he gets King Jehoshaphat to come with him. And then they go and they get ready to battle. And after 1 week of these three kings who were going out to battle against Moab, they run out of water. And they start fretting, they start pouting. What are we going to do? There's no way we can win this war. God planned to take us out. God wanted us to get together. He's just going to take us out. And then one of them said, well, there's this guy named Elisha. Let's go talk to Elisha. Now remember, Elisha's going through some things. Right? Elisha's struggling right now. He's emotional. His best friend's gone. He just got jumped by some children. Like, Elisha's really going through some things in his life. And so they come to him and they're like, what do we do? And the first time that they ask him, he's like, well, y'all need to figure this out on your own. This is on you. It's not on me. And then he answers. And this is where we're finished up right here. It's chapter 3, verse 14. Elisha responded, by the life of the Lord of armies, before who I stand, If I did not have respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't take notice of you. Then verse 15, look at this. Now bring me a musician. And while the musician played, the Lord's hand came on Elisha. Then he said, this is what the Lord says. Dig ditch after ditch in this wadi. Ooh, that's a lot. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you to bless the reading of your word for these next few minutes. God, rain your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. You know who we are. You know our personalities. You know how we take in information, God. So speak directly into our hearts and into our lives. If we're distracted today, help us to stay focused. Help us to stay locked in on what you want for us today, that we can experience truly who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Man, that's a lot. There's a lot going on here. And I don't want you to get distracted from what God has for you today. But I believe that many of us today, many of us in this room are caught up in the distraction dilemma. Our life is not what it could be. And frankly speaking, our life is probably not what it should be because of distractions. Not because you're a bad person, not because you're always out and doing terrible things and because sin. For some of us, it's sin. But a lot of us aren't who we should be, who we could be, because we're distracted. And I want to show you what God showed me these last couple weeks as I've been really digging into this. And if I can just be totally transparent with you, this is what I battle with. This is what I'm battling with in my life right now. Like, there's so many things going on, so many lanes, so many places, so many things to do. And I'm really just trying to seek the Lord. And this is what God gave me this week. So maybe it's just for me, but I know it'll bless you this morning. Number one, how do I get out of the distraction dilemma? Number one, get a new bowl. Get a new bowl. So Elijah was frustrated, right? He just watched Elijah go up and these men come to him and they're like, hey, we'll go look for him. And he's like, no, don't go look for him. He's gone. All right, whatever, go look for him. And then after 3 days, they come back to him and they're like, we couldn't find him. And he's like, I told you. Right? And how many times do we get frustrated when we have to say, I knew that was going to happen. I knew this is what was going to be the end result. And we get frustrated, right? And so here's Elisha, and he's saying, look, y'all got to stop whining about this not having water. I told you, but here's what it is. There was healing that needed to take place, right? These 50 men, they were struggling. They needed healing. And so what did he do? He says, give me a new bowl and give me some salt. Give me a new bowl and give me some salt. I got the Mediterranean sea salt just to make it feel more like it was over there. I didn't even know we had this. He asked for a new bowl, and he asked for some salt. I thought, why did he ask for a new bowl? Like, why didn't he just get any bowl? Well, you dig in and you read it. Many scholars believe that this act symbolizes God's power to purify and heal things. If you walk out through the story, we see and we understand. He takes the new bowl and he puts the salt in it and he goes to the water and he dumps the salt out in the water. I was going to throw salt on you, Mike, but I figured you might get mad. He goes and he throws the salt into the water and now the water becomes healed. The water becomes, ready to drink and they can take it in. And what they needed was there because he got a new bowl and some salt. Now, here's one reality that, I don't know everybody in here really well, but I bet there's some things I can tell you. You have a human desire to avoid change. None of us enjoy change. We like things. Once we find a rhythm, once we find out what we like to stay in that lane, right? That's why, unfortunately, so many businesses die. That's why so many churches die. That's why so many things happen in life, because we want to avoid change. But for so many of us, change is exactly what we need, right? Change from God is what we need. Now this, a new bowl, is the starting place for all of us, all right? A new bowl, listen to me, is your relationship with Christ. A new bowl is I want you to think of it as a new life in Christ. Every single person on earth, at some point, we need a new bowl. Because why? Our bowl that we were dealt, our bowl that we got in the beginning is a sinful bowl. It's a broken bowl. It's a worn out bowl. And we need a new bowl. We need a new life in Christ. Now, Jesus is in the business of healing souls. I believe that with all of my life, right? And so many stories in the Bible, and I want you to think about this. This hit me hard this week. There's so many stories in the Bible of people getting instantly healed, right? Their body, their sickness, whatever ailment they had. But he never does that with people's character. He does it with their body, but he does not do it with their character. There's not a single story in the Bible where Jesus waved his hand and he took an ugly habit. He took an ugly sin. There's not a single story where he took someone's personality trait by just waving his hands. What does he do? He teaches. He rebukes. He loves. He helps all of them to understand in their life that there's a need for a new bowl. We all have a need for a new bowl in our life, and that new bowl is our salvation. That new bowl is our salvation. We're born into the world as sinners, and we need healing to take place. And salvation is a kind of healing. Now, how do I get that bowl? Some of you in here, you understand how to get a new bowl. You've done that. But really, really, what it all comes down to, if I can just make it as simple as possible, for me to get a new bowl, it comes down to one word, confession. It comes down to one word, confession. I confess my need for a new bowl. It's not about getting up and telling all your sins in front of a public, and it's not about everybody bashing you and writing a big long post on some social media. Confessing is about courageously naming your woundedness, courageously naming your wickedness, and saying, you know what? I know that I'm a sinner. It's not only about me confessing my sin. I know that I'm a sinner, but I'm going to confess the truth. This is who I am. This is what I understand. This is who God is. This is what I understand about him. And this, when I take God and I take me, that in Christ, I can be a new creation. I can be a new bowl. And that's what I want in my life. And for some of you today, God has been calling you for some time to get the new bowl, to get the salvation, to start the confession. But you're so distracted that you just keep using the old bowl. You keep wearing out the old bowl. Has distraction kept you from getting a new bowl? It's time for healing. It's time for a new life in Christ. Now, here's what I like about this story. It says a new bowl, but what did he put in it? He put salt in it, right? Now, here's what I know. I don't know you very well, but I would be willing to bet some money on this. But I don't bet money, so I'm not going to do that. But here's what I want you to see. Some of you sitting in here today, you got a new bowl. You got a new bowl when you were 8, right? You accepted, Lord. You confessed salvation is real. You know it. You got a new bowl. Well, let me ask you this. How's your soul? Come on. How's your soul? He says, we got a new bowl and we put some salt in it. And what did he do? He didn't go throw the whole bowl in, did he? He took the salt that was in the bowl and he threw it in the water, and the salt became the healing. There's a sermon that Jesus teaches. Matthew chapter 5, and at the end, towards the end of this sermon, look what he says. He's talking to Christians. So if you got a new bowl today, this is God's word for you, okay? Look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 5. Let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. That's the message, okay? That's not the KJV, all right? Let me tell you why you're here, Christians. Let me tell you why you're here. You are here to be salt to the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? How will the world know that I got a new bowl and if there's some salt in it? How will the world know if I've lost all my salt? How will the world know? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Some of us, we've been distracted for so long that we haven't been salt. We have not been salt to the world around us. It's all about us and it's all about what's in my bowl, and I'm keeping what's in my bowl. I got a new bowl from Jesus, but I'm going to keep what's in here. It's not for me to give to anybody else. This is for my bowl. It's for my family. We're going to keep this. And for some of us, we've been distracted for long enough. Have distractions kept you from being the salt seasoning that the world around you needs? Let's bring that, let's zoom in a little bit. Has distractions kept you from being the salt that your spouse needs? That your kids need, that your friends need, that your neighbors need? Have distractions kept you from being the salt that your church needs? Maybe today you're here and you have a bowl, but you don't have any salt. Number two. 2 Kings chapter 3, over in verse 15. We see all the kings getting ready to go to war. They come to Elisha. He's struggling. He's lost his momentum. His friend's gone. People are bothering him. He's getting attacked. People calling him baldy. Like, all this stuff's going on, right? Just a bad day. In verse 15, beginning in verse 14, Elisha responded, "By the life of the Lord of armies, before whom I stand, if I did not have respect for the king Jehoshaphat of Judah, I wouldn't look at you and I wouldn't take notice of you." Now look at this. This is what he says. "Now bring me a musician." Number two, we got to find the music. You got to find the music. You want to get out of this distraction dilemma? You want to eliminate some distractions in your life? You got to find the music. In the midst of this craziness, in the midst of all that's going on, he's got prophets coming to him. He's got kings coming to him. He's got wars going all around him. And look what he does. He stops and he pauses and he says, "I need some music." Now, understand this. Elisha's music in this setting, it provided a setting for him so that he could hear from God rather than be distracted. What he did through all the craziness, everything that was going on, what he did is he stopped. He pressed pause. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He pressed pause and he said, "Let's get the music going. I need to focus. I need to lock in. I need to be in an environment where I can hear from the Lord." And the Bible says, while the music played, the Lord came upon Elisha. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of all the crazy, you stop and you spend time with God and he comes. And the result was Elisha received God's word. He received the communication that he wanted him to give out. He received the deliverance. Why? Because he unhurried his life. He could have very easily go, "All right, here's what we're going to do. Go get a bowl. Go get a salt. Go get some stuff here. Get these people." Right, he could have immediately went into action. And that's great, right? We need that. But Elisha, he said, "I need a musician. Bring me the music." And through that time, through that setting, the Lord spoke to him. Look at this quote. "In a world that for the most part rejects him, ignores him, and chooses any distraction over him, imagine how much it would bless the heart of the Father." Listen to this. "To hear, 'I want to be with you. I choose you, God, over every other option.'" Church, find the music in your life. Find the music. What's the setting? What's the vibe that you need in your life to find and to focus on God's plan for you, for your spouse, for your family, for your workplace, for your friends, for your school, for your team? What is the setting that you need in your life? Elisha said, "Bring me the music." What habits need to come into play in your life today when you leave here and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? What habits? What are some things that you need to eliminate in your life? What are the distractions that you need to say, "No more. I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to find the music." Why? Because what we repeatedly do, we become. What we repeatedly do, we become. And before Elisha could give these kings God's plan, what did he do? He found the music. So this week, before the meeting, before the conversation gets out of control, before you go down the road that you promised God you wouldn't go down again, before you make a decision, find the music. Get alone with God. Sing his praise. Speak his name. Whisper his name. Write his name. Write his praise. God is looking for a relationship, church, not some well-rehearsed, well-prepared speech that has perfect motives and everything's perfect and it has all this perfect language. Find the music. Find the music. Elisha found the music. And then he spoke. So number one, get a new bowl. Number two, find the music. And then finally, number three, this is where we're going to end. I love this. He says, bring me the music. While the musician played, the Lord's hand came upon Elisha. And then this is what the Lord says. Dig ditch after ditch in this wadi. Number three, dig some ditches. Dig some ditches. Elisha spent time with the Lord. He got rid of some distractions. This is a shovel for some of you millennials in here. Y'all never seen one of these. I'm sorry. Elisha found the music. And once he found the music, he heard this word from the Lord. And just imagine this with me, right? What are the kings wanting? Right? They're probably sitting there going, man, we want God to do something for us. Right? But Elisha's word from God to the kings, he said, go get a shovel, dig some ditches. Go get a shovel and dig some ditches. It's time to get to work. Hey, kings, it's time for you to get to work. You want victory in this battle? And you got some work to do. You got to dig some ditches. Church, let's be honest this morning. Some of you, God's called you to dig some ditches and you haven't been digging. You've been distracted, but you haven't been digging. You've allowed distractions to keep you from digging the ditches that God's called you in your life. Can I just tell you this morning? You're designed to dig some ditches. That's good. God designed every one of us in here so different. I learned a lot about that this weekend. We're all so different, but we're also a lot alike. And God designed you to dig some ditches. And guess what? Guess what? Your ditch may be over here, and that's good. And mine may be over there. We need both of them, right? God may call you to come over here and help me dig my ditch. And he may say, you stay over there and dig yours by yourself. I don't know what your ditch is. But I know that God's designed each and every one of us in here to dig some ditches. But distractions have kept the shovel on the wall. Distractions have kept the shovel in a place that I don't even see it anymore. You were designed to dig some ditches. And here's what he's telling the kings, right? And I believe this is God's word for you and I today. If you can do, if you will do what you do, God will do what only he can. If you dig your ditches, and this is what he's telling me to do, and he's telling me to dig this ditch, and if I do my part, God's going to show up and do his part. And that was the word that Elisha told these kings. It's time to dig some ditches, church. It's time to dig some ditches. What does that really look like, Bobby? 2024, what does that really look like in my life? It's time to give. If you haven't given, it's time to give. If you haven't served, it's time to serve. Read. If you haven't read, read. Pray. If you haven't prayed, pray. Love. If you haven't loved. Confess. If you haven't confessed. Teach. If you aren't teaching. Lead. If you aren't leading. What ditches do you want me to start digging, God? I know you've designed me to dig some ditches, but I've really allowed distractions to keep me from digging these ditches. God, speak to me. I need to find the music. I need to press pause on my life and get these distractions out of the way. And God, I need you to speak to me and tell me, what's my plan? You've designed me to dig some ditches. What are they? Can I tell you something this morning, church? You can't think your way to Christ-likeness. You can't think your way there. You got to dig some ditches. Look at this quote. If we don't take our discipleship to Jesus seriously, the odds are very high that we will become less like Jesus. If I'm not digging ditches right now, because this is the way God's designed me, if I'm not digging ditches in my life right now, then the odds are that I'm probably drifting further away from God instead of closer. Maybe you're here this morning and you need some victories in your life. Just like these kings came to Elisha, you need some victories. Can I encourage you this morning? Dig ditch after ditch. Dig ditch after ditch. Are you digging right now in your life, church? I didn't write this down, but I was thinking about it this morning. And I want to encourage you, some of you today. All right, listen to me. We're going to be done. I really need you to listen. Those of you that have been with us for a long time, some of you here in this church, man, you've been digging so many ditches at City Hope Church. Your hands are hurting. Your back's starting to hurt. And here's what you're doing. You're looking around. You're seeing who else is digging. And you're getting a little frustrated, right? You're starting to say, man, I don't want to keep digging. I feel like I'm the only one digging. And some of you, maybe that's you and your family right now. Man, there's a house full of us, but my husband's not digging and my kids aren't digging. I'm the only one digging and I'm getting tired. Don't stop. Don't stop digging. You dig because God called you to dig. You're not digging because everybody else should be. You do what God's called you to do. You keep digging, Dad. You keep digging. You keep praying. You keep reading. You keep encouraging. You keep sending those texts. And your kid, they'll hear it. And one day they're going to start digging right next to you. And that'll be a glorious day. Don't stop digging. Don't get weary in doing good. Don't get weary in what God's called you to do. Hey, I'm over here digging. You want help? It's a big hole. We got work to do. Encourage the people around you to dig. Don't get frustrated. I think we understand that we live in a world that doesn't like to dig. We live in a world that would rather not dig. We live in a world in a time where I don't have time to dig. I'll pay somebody else to dig. But if you need victories in your life, let me encourage you this morning, dig some ditches. Church, are distractions keeping you from the life you want to have? Are distractions keeping you from what God has for you in your life? Are you ready to take control? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes and don't check out on me yet, all right? Don't check out on me yet. We're going to be done. I promise. We're almost done. But there's some of you in here this morning. Hey, the reality is the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you need a new bowl. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've been to church. You've read. Maybe you've even prayed. But the reality is you've never confessed. You've never confessed your sin. You've never confessed who God is. You've never put those two things together and asked Jesus to be Lord over your life. And if you're here this morning, do not leave. Do not walk out of this place before you get a new bowl. Why? Because healing needs to take place. A new life needs to take place. Listen, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about, well, I went to Sunday school when I was little. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, then you're working with an old bowl. It's time for a new bowl. All I can stand up here and do this morning, what my call this morning was, the ditch that I'm digging this morning is preaching God's word to you. That's my ditch. And I just want to beg you, I want to plead with you, don't leave here without a new bowl. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, Dad, Mom, young person, grandma, grandfather, whoever you are in this room, if you don't have a new bowl, don't leave here today without it. I got a new bowl, but how's the salt? Christians in the room, that's the majority of us. How's my salt? Has my salt lost its saltiness? Does anybody in the world know what's in my bowl? Am I throwing it out to anybody? Or have I just been so distracted with my life and my stuff and my schedule? Nobody knows. Let's get the saltiness back, church. For some of you today, the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, and what you need to do is you need to find the music. Just like Elisha, man, he lost the momentum. He was struggling. He had a lot going on, and he said, bring me the musician. I need to spend some time with the Lord. That's what you need today. Maybe it's a walk. Maybe it's just some time alone. Maybe it's a prayer closet. Maybe it's in your car with some worship music turned on. Would you find the music today? Would you pause and allow God to eliminate some distractions and speak to your heart? Church, it's time to dig some ditches. Christian, God is calling you to dig some ditches. If you're not digging ditches, you're not doing what you were designed to do. God, what ditches do you want me to be digging? God, I've been digging ditches and I'm getting a little weary. Would you give me strength to continue to dig? I love what Elisha says. He doesn't just say dig one ditch. He says dig ditch after ditch. Ditch after ditch. Whatever God's speaking to your heart about this morning, if it's salvation, if it's sanctification, it's just cleaning up my life, getting back on track. Maybe it's just surrender. God, I've been running from the ditch, and God, I'm here. I'm ready to pick up the shovel. I'm ready to start digging. Whatever it is, our team's here. We have a prayer room with full of people that would love to pray with you. Our pastors are here. Our wives are here. Don't leave this place. If God's speaking to you today, don't go home the same. Don't allow distractions to keep you from what God's doing. Father, we love you. We're so blessed to have you. We're so blessed, God, to be able to worship you in this place. God, I just pray for every soul in this room, God, that you would speak to our hearts even as we leave this place, as we go our separate ways. And God, I pray that we wouldn't go back the same. Challenge us, change us, oh God. Use today as a catalyst to push us forward in our walk with you, Lord. Give us a new bowl. Help our salt to become salty again. Lord, I pray that this week, even today, that somebody would find the music, they would press pause and they would eliminate distractions and they would get with you. God, help us to dig some ditches. May City Hope Church always be a church full of people willing to dig. God, that's our heart, not for our glory, but so that the world can experience you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.